You turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 25. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 25. Hebrews 7, 25. And then I'm going to ask you to turn back to Mark chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 7, verse number 25. And then I'm going to ask you to turn back to Mark chapter number 5. And I want to take a few moments just to brag on God and say that He's able. Amen. I want to say that He's able this morning, Brother Charles Coburn. I want to thank God that He's able. Even though you were dead, you're alive. Amen. Sitting there on that pew, you done celebrated 1 year of open heart surgery. Amen. And you're alive and well. Hey, you're alive and well, baby. I got walking down the hall. We had to be at the hospital in Tupelo this week. And I went into my mom's room and we wanted to leave. Started walking down the hall. Brandy said, "Where are you going?" "We go to the lobby." I said, "We're going to go to second floor." We walked that second floor and we walked down to a certain spot that when I had open heart surgery, I would walk to. And I keep walking that way to remind the devil that he's a loser and God is a winner. Amen. What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. And as I got walking down that through there, I seen a man that I knew and he looked like I did. He was holding on walking. And I said, "That's old Stuart Taylor. I can tell who that is. He'll walking down through there, man. If you've been cut open, it's hard to walk." Amen. And I walked up behind him. I said, "How you doing, old man?" He said, "You got the old man right." Me and him got walking down that hall, and I got to encouraging him and telling him that God is able. Amen. He said, "Preacher, why do you go back down that hall?" "Because there may be somebody on that road that I know that needs a little encouragement. Brother Charles, that knows that we've been through it. Brother Tony, that knows that we've been through it. Brother Harold, that knows that we've been down that road and that God's got it. It's going to be okay, and we're a winner on the other side." Can I get an amen? If you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 25. And the Bible says, "Wherefore," the Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, "wherefore he is able." Therefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence, Lord, we love you and we praise you and we glorify you today, Father. Lord, I thank you for this room today. I thank you for everybody that's gathered in here. But I thank you this morning, Father, that we don't have to go to a man to make confession. Hey, but we got a high priest and his name is Jesus Christ this morning. And we go before the throne of thrones and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We go right into the place that we need to go today. We go right into where the high priest is and we make intercession there. We make our requests known and Jesus Christ takes it straight to God the Father. And Lord, I pray this morning as I preach, thus saith the word of God, if they be one lost, that you would save them. If they be one backslidden, that you would bring them back to where they need to be. Father, Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you for the saving grace. I thank you for saving power. Lord, I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Lord, I thank you that you have turned graves into gardens. I thank you that you have touched dry bones. Lord God, I thank you that you have breathed down like you did on the day of Pentecost. And Lord God, that you've infiltrated your church with the Holy Ghost this morning, Father. Lord, I pray that you move. I pray that you touch. And if there's one struggling this morning, I pray that they get to an old-timey altar and they do business with an old-timey God. Father, you've not changed 1 minute. You're not a rock and roll Jesus. You're not a Hollywood Jesus. You're not a Harley Davidson Jesus. Father God, you are King of kings and you are Lord of lords. And there's no way that I will belittle you. I will uphold you and say that God is my Savior. He's my King and He's my Lord. Father, I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I want you to turn with me, if you will, for a few moments and direct your attention to Mark chapter number 5. And I want to show you a few things this morning that God has laid on my heart. And I want to tell somebody this morning, I don't know who it is, but that God is able. Last night about 9 o'clock, I got a phone call and this lady was on the other end. And she said, "Brother BJ, my husband is in a bad shape. He can't talk to you right now, but he can listen. And if you don't mind, will you pray with him right now on the phone? And I want you to know that I gave him all the hope that they was. I don't know what was going on in his life. It wasn't none of my business, but I know that there's a God in heaven that I could get a hold of on his behalf and ask God to touch him there in that car. You say, preacher, why is that? Because God is able. There is nothing that God can't do. It doesn't matter how sick you are, how sin sick you are. There's not a God in heaven that can't reach down and he can touch your heart. He can make you new. He can cleanse you. He can forgive you. He can set you on the right path. And I thank God this morning that we serve an almighty God. You say, preacher, what does that mean? Wherefore he is able. I say he is able this morning. And the word of God said that Jesus is able to save a person to the uttermost. He can take you from the guttermost and he can take you to the uttermost. He doesn't just halfway save. He doesn't partially save. But he does all the saving this morning. And I want to scream from the mountaintop that he is able. Can I get an amen? That God is able. Somebody in this room today needs to hear that he is able to save. And I want you to look in Mark chapter number 5 at some folks that if God didn't show up, that they had no hope. Look with me, if you will, in Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 2. You say, preacher, who can he save? I say to you, number one, he can save the demonic, those that are demon-possessed, those that got demons in their life, those that are demonic this morning. Look with me in verse number 2, if you will. And the Bible says, and when he was come out of the ship, that's talking about Jesus, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. You said, what do you mean, preacher? He can save a man that has a demonic spirit. He can save a woman that has a demonic spirit. You say, preacher, I don't believe in demons. You better get your head out of the sand. They're all amongst us today, everywhere you go. You say, why is that, preacher? A man that would be chained up and break his chains into asunder. I want you to know that a man that's been bound up with shackles and chains and they can even break them chains with his bare hand, that man is demonic. That man's got a problem. I've seen people that's had a demonic spirit and they've got an almighty strength. They got a strength like you've never seen before. We was at Broken Lives one night and Brother David Whitaker was with us and he's shaking his head right now, and Brother David's about 6 foot something, a big old man, and there was this little bitty guy there and he had his hands up. And you could tell he'd been cutting his arms and he had been cutting himself. And David went over there to talk to him. And when David went to lay his hand on him to pray for him, that little bitty fella that wasn't big at all, he grabbed him in a headlock and he got around his neck. I thought he was going to snap his neck off his shoulders. I thought he was going to die right there. You said, preacher, what did y'all do? We got that demonic man down in that altar and we got to praying. We got people out of that room and we started praying in the name of Jesus. We started quoting scripture. We started asking God to remove that demon in that man's life, to get him out of that man's life. Friends, I want you to know, you say, preacher, I don't believe this kind of preaching. Friends, you listen to me. Anytime a man that'll cut himself and a man will try to kill himself, he's not in his right mind. He's got a demon inside of him. It needs to be cast out. It needs to be gone in the name of Jesus. That man laid there on that altar. He was foaming at the mouth. I'm talking about he let things come out that you wouldn't believe. It was all over that altar there. And when we left him there, I went by and told Brother Tommy, that man's laid out back there. He's laid out. He's as limp as a dish rag. You can't see anything in him. He was just a hollow body laying there on that altar. Brother Eric was with us, and as we got up from there, they took that man in and they took him into that room and they played the Bible over him for several days. You said, preacher, what happened? Friends, I want you to know that man was full of a demon and he was looking to hurt somebody. I want you to know he can save the demonic. That demonic was chained up. That demonic was cutting himself. That demonic was crying out. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. If all you do is take a demonic man and send him over to Bryce's and you never get him Jesus, you've not done him a bit of good. You've not done him a favor. You've not did him anything. You say, preacher, he's demonic. Why would I want to take him to Jesus? Because Jesus is the only one that can save a demonic. Amen. I see he was chained up. He was cut up and he was crying, but the demonic was cured. You say, preacher, how do you know that? He said that day and night he was in the tombs. Day and night he was living in the cemetery. He was in the tombs. It was dark. He was depressed. He was lonely. He was suicidal. But when he met Jesus, whoa, glory to God. But when he met Jesus, man, things change when you meet Jesus. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 15. He is able to save the demonic. Look in verse number 15, what he says. And they cometh to Jesus and seen him that was possessed. Thank God for the King James Bible says, that was possessed. That means he's not possessed no more. He don't have a demon no more. That demon's not there no more. He said, and they saw him that had the demon and had the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. You said, preacher, what happened? How was this man that used to cut himself? How was this man that was chained up? How now is he sitting and clothed in his right mind? How is that? Because Jesus touched him. Folks, can I say to you this morning, no matter how far a person seems gone, never give up on them because Jesus can save them. I say to you, number one, he can save the demonic. But I say to you, number two, he can save the discouraged. Now, I may be talking to people in here, you may not believe in demons, but you believe in being discouraged. Huh? You may not believe in a demon, and that's okay. That's your faith, that's your belief, that's what you want to think. But everybody in this room has been discouraged. Everybody in this room has felt discouragement. They have felt doubt. They have felt fear. They have felt, God, I need you at a time in my life. I need you to touch. I need you to heal. And I need you. And it may have not been on your behalf. It may have been on somebody else's behalf. And if your daddy worth their salt, if you have a kid and they're sick, you don't go to the doctor. You need to go to the Heavenly Father. You need to go to the great physician. He's the only one that can cure sickness. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 23 and Jairus of the same text. Not only did he save the demonic, but he can save the discouraged. And here's what Jairus said. And Jairus went unto him in verse number 23, and he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. You say, preacher, how was he discouraged? This daddy was hurting. His daughter was at home at the point of death. She was dying. This daddy was hurting. His little girl that he loved from the time she had been born. Now she's 12 years old. Man, I'm telling you, he loved her. He cared about her. And now he was a ruler of the synagogue and he had all the knowledge that you could have, but he knew he needed more than knowledge. He needed more than head knowledge. He needed Jesus to come. Friends, can I say to you, when was the last time you knew that your family and your kids and the people that you come in contact with, they didn't need your opinion, they didn't need your knowledge, but they needed Jesus. They needed Jesus because he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that you and I could think or ask. He's the one that can touch. He's the one that can reach. He's the one that can heal. He's the one that can save. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one this morning. He can save the demonic, but he can also save the discouraged. This daddy was hurting. He said, my little girl is dying. But not only was he hurting, but this daddy got humble over his little girl. It's amazing what God will use to get your attention. It's amazing as a parent what God will use to get your attention. He'll use a little kid to get your attention. He'll use a little girl to get your attention. He'll use a little boy. He'll use your grandchildren. It's amazing what God will use to get your attention. And this daddy came unto Jesus. He was hurting. He was humble, but also he was honest. He was honest as he could be when he came to Jesus. He didn't leave nothing out. Folks, this morning, if you need help, don't leave nothing out. When you come to Jesus, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You don't have to name your sin. You just have to know you're a sinner. Folks, this morning, can I say to you, when I got saved that night, there's no way I can name my sin, Brother Shay Taylor. There's no way. I had so many, but I knew I was a sinner in need of a Savior. I knew that I was lost and hell-bound. I knew I had a demonic spirit on me. Man, I'm telling you what, I wanted nothing to do with the church or church people. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it, and I was at the place of discouragement, and I didn't want to live any longer, but I met Jesus, and listen to me, now I live life. And I live it more abundantly. I thank God for the life that I live. I thank God that when I wake up on Sunday morning that I get to go to the house of God and I get to preach the truth to you. I'm not here for your feelings. I'm here for your future. I'm not here to make you happy, make you sad. I'm here to tell you the truth that there is a God that'll save you. There is a God that'll heal you. There is a God that'll help you. No matter what you've got going on, that he is able. Amen. He's able. If you'll get honest, he's able. But this daddy was hurting. This daddy was humble and this daddy was honest. He said this, get this, what he said. And here's what he said to Jesus. Look what he said in verse 23. Not only was he hurting when he came, not only was he humble and he was honest, but look what he said. He said this to Jesus. He said, I pray thee. The daddy said, I pray thee, come. Just come. Jesus, just come. You heard that C.C. Wyman's got a song, Come Jesus, Come. Man, I'm telling you what, I pray that on my family. Not that he would just only come and rapture the church, but I hope he don't come right now. What? I pray he don't come, because I still got lost family members that need to be saved. If he comes right now, they go to hell. If he comes right now, they go to hell. I got family, I got friends that I'm witnessing to. Lord, I'm not telling you when to come. I don't know when you're coming, but I want, if you would, just please save their soul before they come, before you come. You ever thought about that? When you're praying, come, Jesus, come. What about your family that's lost? What about your friends that are lost? What about the ones you get on your knees for and tears flow down your face and you say, Lord, save them? Here's what he said. He said, Jesus, come. I pray thee, come. Look what your text says. I pray thee, come. What did he want him to do? He said, I just want you to come and I just want you to lay your hands on her. He said, if you'll just touch her, everything will be better. I got friends like that, Lord. They're way far gone. I got family, man. They way gone. He said, preacher, you give up on them? No. I pray for them, and I say, God, if you'll just touch them. If you'll just touch them. You ask my mama, you ask my wife, you ask all my friends. Man, I needed a touch. Man, I'm telling you what, rehab wouldn't do it. Nothing, none of them things would do it. Turning over a new leaf wouldn't do it. Going to church wouldn't do it, Brother Brad. But it was being born again by the blood of Jesus Christ because he is able this morning. He's able. You say, what is he able to do, preacher? He is able if you'll just give it to God. He's able, listen to me. He's able, number one, to save the demonic. Man, I'm telling you, I don't care how far your family's gone or somebody you love's gone. You say, preacher, they're too far gone. No, they ain't. You remember how far you was out there? Come on, talk to me somebody now. Now, we ain't all religious folks up in here. It's all religious, all, you know. No. You say, well, I ain't never been a sinner. You ain't never been saved because you ain't realized you need to be saved yet. We're all, for all, that's everybody, Brother Travis, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God. Woo, God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Listen to me, he can save the demonic. He can save the discouraged. Not only was he hurt and humble, but he got help. Jesus said, I'll go with you. If you'll ask him, he'll go with you. If you'll ask him, he'll go. Now I may call Brother Mason and say, Brother Mason, you gonna help me clean out my septic tank? He said, No, we good. We good, preacher. Brother Mason, you gonna go eat a piece of pizza? Yeah, I'll go. Jesus ain't that way. He don't care if it's septic tank or pizza, he's with you. It don't matter how dirty your life is, how filthy it is, or how good it is, he'll go with you. Folks, I'm telling you right now, not only the demonic, not only the discouraged, but this right here, I want to talk to somebody right now that I don't have a clue. You got a doctor's report this week. Listen to me. I don't have a clue. You got a doctor's report. I don't have a clue what you got going on. I've not heard nothing on you, but God gave me this. He can also save the one that's got the disease this morning that the doctor says it's over. That the doctor, I've seen it time and time again. You lay in a doctor's office, you lay in that room, and that doctor thinks he's so educated, he knows what's going on, and he tells you when you're going to die, how you're going to die, it ain't going to be long. You listen to me, he don't have the final say. The final say is God Almighty. The final say is Jesus Christ. He is the final say, and I've seen it time and time again. You let somebody go in, and that doctor speak that over them, and 3 months, they're dead as a doornail. Friends, you listen to me, they're good, they're fine, they got their place, but they can never take place over God Almighty. He is the final say. He is the final say. And this morning, not only the demonic, not only the discouraged, but the one that may have a sickness that nobody knows about. Look with me, if you will, with the woman with the issue of blood. Look at this disease that she had, what the Bible called it. She had a disease. Not only the demonic, not only, man, the discouraged, but the diseased. Verse number 25. And it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. For 12 years, this woman has bled out. For 12 years, she can't get the blood to stop. For 12 years, she had 7 days to get it to stop. She had 7 days, and after that, she'd have to be like somebody that was a leper. She'd have to go out and live in the leper colony, and she would have to go out there, and she would have to holler, unclean, unclean, unclean. But you know what that woman did? She didn't want to give up. She didn't want to give in. Man, she knew there was hope. She knew there was help. The doctors had done gave up on her. But can I say to you, she hadn't been to the great physician yet. She hadn't touched the hem of the garment yet. And the Bible says that she had spent every dollar she had, and she was flat broke. No more. The big pharmaceutical done took all her money. She ain't got no money for pills. She ain't got no money for doctor's visits. She ain't got no money. She has spent every dollar. She has been to every doctor, and nothing has got better, but only grew worse. Friends, I'm asking you, when was the last time you got on your face before an almighty God and you say, God, I know that you're able. I know it looks bad. I know it looks dim. I know I'm desperate and I'm discouraged, but I need you to touch. You listen to me. He will touch you when you get real with him. Look at this. Look at this. Had spent every dollar, been to every doctor, and she still got the same disease. Is that not the world we live in? You go to every doctor, they're sending you to another doctor. Hey, I'm thankful for doctors. Brother Charles, without doctors, me and you wouldn't be here. We'd done be gone. I'm thankful for doctors. But I don't want to listen to a doctor when he tells me my time's over. You listen to me, that's something he can't call. He may have seen it many a times, but he can't call it. There's only one can call it, and his name's God. Listen to me this morning. She had spent every dollar. She'd been to every doctor, and she has the same disease. But when she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus. I hope y'all believe in what I'm telling y'all this morning. But when she heard about Jesus, look what it says. Verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians or doctors. She spent all that she had. She's broke. Nothing better but grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Because before she ever touched with her disease, she had an imagination. She had an imagination. She said, preacher, what do you mean she had an imagination? She says in verse number 28, for she said, not out loud, but in her spirit, she said this, for if I may touch but his clothes, if I can just get a touch of him, if I can just get him, I'll be whole. She ain't even touched him yet. All she's done is heard. She's just heard how good he is. She just heard. She's over here in verse number 20s. She done heard in verse number 2 where that old demonic man, glory to God. She done heard the demonic's been healed. Now she's done heard about Jairus. He's going with, and she said, well, if I can get in on this. Somebody this morning needs to say, if I can get in on some of that. If I can get in on some of that. You say, oh, preacher, that ain't real. Wait till you get down and out and the doctor tells you you got too much to live. You got kids and you got a grandbaby and you got all this and you don't want to die. Friends, I'm telling you what, you need to get at the throne room of grace. You need to get at the throne room of mercy. You saying you can pray and not die. I'm telling you, if he tells me I'm going to die, I'm not going to quit praying about living. I'm not going to keep praying about healing. You listen to me this morning. There's a lot of folks that's gave up and gave in and stopped, not only in the lost world, but in the Christian world. He ain't got enough faith to make this building even come alive. Ain't got enough faith to turn the light on when they walk in. You listen to me this morning. It takes faith to move God. It takes faith to move God. It takes faith to move God. You got to have faith this morning. When you can't see it, you say, he's going to move it anyway. Faith is the key. Jesus is the door. Faith is the key. Well, I think you can't, but he, well, you done missed it, son. You done missed it. You out in left field. You done missed it already. Folks, I tell this everywhere I go. My wife, little Ryder, sitting over there. He's a handful, but I prayed he wouldn't be a sissy. I can't stand a boy that's a sissy. I want a man's man. I want a man's man. I want a boy who's going to knock the lights out at the house and let me get fired up at him. I don't want one sitting in there just watching a little old TV all the time playing video games. I don't want that. I want a man's man. I want one that kicks things over and tears stuff up and rips everything out of the house. I want a man's man. I want him to grow up to be a man, not a sissy. That's what I wanted. I prayed for that. Man, let him be a man. Brandy, did I not pray that? Let him be a man. She said, you got what you prayed for. I said, you doggone right. Son, he'll take a bat and warp me in the head with it. Them little blue bats from Dollar General. You know what I'm saying? He'll say, Daddy. I'll turn around, whap. I'll say, Ryder, whap. It don't hurt him to fight. We got a 9-year-old neighbor. He's 9, Ryder's 4. He'll come up on a trampoline, grab him by the throat, pick him up and slam him on the ground. Brady's like, go. I said, it's good for him. It's good for him. He needs to fight. It's good for him. Boys don't know how to fight no more. Shay Taylor, we'd fight a drop of a hat. You got to have that. Every once in a while, you got to get hit on the end of the nose to know how to handle adversity. You let a kid get pushed at school, mom and daddy's down there complaining. They don't handle their own problems. That's why they don't know how to handle it in Christianity. They don't know how to handle it when they get older. They don't know how to handle it. They got mama. They call mama. They call daddy. They always want somebody to step in for them. When it comes to Jesus, you ain't got nobody step in for you, but you got to step into Jesus. We was down there at Amory Hospital, and I know I may be getting, oh my goodness, overtime today. I didn't mean for this. We got down there at Amory Hospital. We was playing kickball in the front yard, and Brandy said, I think my water's broke. I think I'm having a baby. I said, today? She said, yeah. Right now? She said, yeah, something's going on. I said, we need to go. She said, well, what if it ain't real? I said, you're pregnant. Something's real. I mean, it's real. I mean, a little pregnant's like a little sin. Give it time, it's going to show. A little pregnant's like a little sin. Just give it time, it's going to show. He said, well, ain't nobody going to know. It's going to show, trust me. We rode down there, and Rodney Cagle's niece, daughter-in-law, Robin, rode in there and checked her. Said, yeah, we having a baby today. Having a baby today. Man, I'm sitting in there, got on my T-shirt, happy daddy shirt, you know what I'm saying? Everything's good, boy, we just loving it up. And all of a sudden, you talking about, man, I'm talking about being in a place that you're desperate and you're discouraged. I sit in that room, and that doctor come in there, had his little old hat on, turned on backwards, Ole Miss. And I seen it on his face when he changed like that. He come in cutting up, and all of a sudden it was serious, as serious as it could be, Herschel Ray King. He said, get the anesthesiologist now. They started stripping her clothes off. They started putting stuff on her. Me and Kaylee's just backed up in the corner. Like, what's going on? Ain't nobody told us a thing. Ain't nobody told us a thing, son. They ain't nobody told us a thing. They pushed us back like we don't even belong in the room. And they start saying, and they talking terms I don't understand. And all of a sudden, he turns around, the anesthesiologist comes in, and he's wanting to pat her on the arm. He said, we ain't got time for that. We got to go now. We got to go now. I said, what's going on? What's going on? He said, I can't promise you to save both of them. I'm going to try to save one. I'm going to try to say I can't promise both. He's wrapped up in his umbilical cord, in his blood. He's bleeding. I can't promise you I'm going to save both, but I'm going to do my best to at least save one. You said, preacher, that ain't real. You should have been there. Folks, I want you to know Robin turned around and she looked at me. She knows I'm a man of God. She looked at me, but at that moment I was overwhelmed. I was discouraged and I needed help and I needed somebody to help me. And she looked at me and said, Brother BJ, get a hold of yourself. You need to be praying now. Pray, pray. Man, they wheeled that wife of mine out with that boy, and me and Kaylee got down in the floor and we didn't pray, Lord, if it be thy will. We started reminding him of his promises. We start reminding him of his goodness and his mercy and his grace and what he's done time and 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 time again, and how he's done it in other people's lives. And I need him show up in my life. My phone rings and it's Chasta. She calls me. She's like my mama. She made us do what we need to do with his kids. And she called and I couldn't do it with squall. She said, you're going to have to get a hold of yourself. I said, I can't. Get a hold of yourself. I said, where are you at? She said, I'll be there in a minute. COVID lockdown. Nobody can come in the hospital. All of a sudden, I heard the door open. It was my sister. You talking about being able to, glad to see somebody that you didn't know. I thought, Brother Jerry, that my life was fixing to really be turned upside down. Can I say to you, number one, God can save the demonic. I don't care what they got going on. The more evil they are, the more I like talking to them. It's easy to win a lost person. Somebody that don't know they're lost, but they think they might need to be saved. It's hard to win a know-it-all. You take somebody that's broke, it's easy to, they broke. He can save a demonic. He can save a discouraged. He can save somebody with a disease in here this morning. He said, preacher, I barely can walk, man. I'm about dead. He loves them kind. Not only can he save the discouraged and the diseased, he can save the dead. He can save the dead. What they told him, here's what they told Jairus. God is able. God is able. Listen to me this morning, somebody. Look up here. God's able. God's able. They told Jairus, they said, trouble the master no more. She's dead. Trouble the master no more. She's dead. How many times? Be honest with me right now. Be honest. You know the Spirit's popping in this place. Don't you sit there and be, don't you lie. How many times has somebody told you, quit praying for him? He's too far gone. Quit praying for him. Hospice has done been called it. We're guilty of it. You hear the word hospice and we don't quit praying. You hear the word he's not too far gone, we quit praying. They done locked him up. He's in prison. They throwed the key away. We quit praying. They told Jairus, said, don't bother the master no more. She's done dead. Folks, I'm telling you, God, Jesus Christ hears everything that's been told. There's not a word that you audible out of your mouth that he don't hear. Let me show you this in the text. We're going to have a time of invitation. I want to show, oh glory, verse 35. While he yet spake, Jesus and Jairus, they're talking. He don't know nothing's going on, Brother Perry. All he knows is Jesus said he'll go, and they're going. But there's always one of them negative Nancys in the room. You can't get past her. You can't get past her. You can't get past him. Always somebody going to throw a wet blanket on what God's trying. Come on, somebody. Not here, preacher. Oh, yes, sir, here. Don't you think God don't want to bless and heal people in this place? Then you got one sitting there saying, I don't believe a word he said. Look with me in verse number 35. I'm sorry. While he yet spake, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Get this. Why? Why? Your daughter's dead. Why trouble thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. There's going to be somebody going to throw you a negative slur every once in a while. They're going to be that one that ain't read their Bible. They call themselves a Christian, and they've never read it from cover to cover. They can't tell you nothing in it. They don't know nothing about it. They ain't never been healed. They don't even know how to be healed. And when you start talking about healing, they want to throw a negative on it. Talk to me, somebody. They want to tell you they know the Bible, and they ain't got a clue who the author is. The daughter is dead. Why? Let me give you a few scenarios, and we'll go. The daughter is dead. Why trouble the master any further? I can tell you why he kept bothering with him. Because the master is able. Why do we trouble the master when the doctor says it's over? Because he's able. Why do we trouble the master when the ruler of the synagogue says it's over? Because he's able. Why do we trouble the master when folks has given up on somebody and throw them away? Because he's able. This morning I'm trying to tell you, don't stop troubling the master. You stay at the foot of the cross, you trouble him about whoever's on your heart, you bring that name up to the throne room, you bring it up, bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. Because he is able. I started this off, and I'm going to end it with this. As I walk down, second floor, Tupelo, Mississippi, Friday, Thursday, and I was walking down that hall, I walk with a purpose, Brother Eric. I don't walk, I may be hurting when I get in there. My right ankle from walking the treadmill may be hurting. My back may be hurting. I may be bloated. But when I walk down that hall, son, I'm up in attention. My wife says, somebody's going to think you're carrying a gun when you get off that elevator. Loosen up a little bit. That's how I walk down the hall. Them nurses that see me coming. Now, I may do this at home. But when I walk down that hall, there's no fear. Why? Because I was feared there at one time. I had fear on me in that hallway at one time. I had discouragement at one time. I had a disease there at one time. I was almost dead there one time, but God is able. So when I got walking down that hall, I walked down that hall with a purpose, Brother Jerry Gebbie, shoulders kicked back, walked like a man, not a sissy. You hear me? Walked down through there, and when I looked up and I seen him, I seen Mr. Taylor, Stuart Taylor, and his wife walking down that hall. God told me out of his own mouth, he said, this is why I put you in this hall every time you come back. I didn't have nobody to visit on that hall. But he said, you don't know who you're going to run into that needs to hear that God is able. When I looked at the tape going down his chest, and they initialed it, when they had put the fresh tape on it, brought me right back, Brother Charles. I thought, they fixed to jerk that off, son. You better. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I wanted to ask him, was his tubes out yet, but I didn't. Want to be an encouragement, not a discouragement. I said, where you going? I said, where you going, man? He said, I'm walking the hall. I said, yeah, but where you going? He said, I'm walking right down there. Look across, you can see Connie's chicken over there. He said, I just want to go down there and sit and look. And I looked at Brandy. Brandy said, that's where BJ walked every morning, every evening at lunch too. We got down there and he sat down in that chair. And I told him, I said, man, you listen to me. God's got this. You may be hurting right now. You may think, what am I going to do now? But God is able. God is able. I'm talking to somebody this morning. He said, preacher, it's a mess. You just don't know. I don't care about your mess. I'm talking about the master. He's able. You don't know the test I'm under. You're just building a bigger testimony. Keep on fighting. Keep on pushing. There's a God in heaven that loves you. There's a God in heaven that's beating in your lungs, beating in your heart, loves you, cares about you, wants better for you. And this morning, all you have to do is say, I'm tired. I'm going to trouble the master with it. When's the last time you troubled him with something in your life? You've dealt with it all you can. Jay Irish couldn't do no more. He was done. But he got Jesus. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come up here and give your life to Jesus if the Spirit of God's drawing. This morning, if you are saved and you've been living in discouragement, I'm going to ask you to get in this altar. Get that discouragement off of you. Man, you can't be the witness you need to be if you're discouraged. You can't be. This morning, where are you at? I just want to speak to you one more time. He is able. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Father, right now as we're getting ready to sing, Lord, I don't know nobody's heart. I don't know their mind. I don't know their soul. I don't know their spirit. But I know right now in the world we live in, it don't take long to get discouraged. We look around, Lord, we're in war. Lord, we've got a lot going on, a lot of discouragement. People don't know where to turn, don't know where to go. We have no leadership. Father, we're in a mess as a world. And Lord, we're in a mess. Lord, there's preachers standing on TV saying that Jesus ain't the only way. We're in a mess, no leadership. But Lord, I stand here today to say that Jesus is the way. That he is able. And Lord, all we have to do is just get to the feet of Jesus. Lord, I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you do. And Lord, I pray that they don't struggle to walk out of this building today. But I pray they walk out of this building being blessed. As my wife and my daughter talked about, we're not lucky. We're blessed. And Lord, I pray you bless your people. Watch over us as a church. They be one lost, save them. Be one backslidden, bring them back. Be one that needs to be baptized. Let them walk forth. Maybe one coming for church membership. Lord, I don't know. You know. Lord, I don't have a clue, but you do. And whatever their need is, that you just reach down and touch them. In the blessed name of Jesus. And all of God's people say, amen. I ask you to stand.